Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You know, some people refer to their marriages in the sense of, well, you know, I've got a good marriage. And others say, well, you know, I've got a really bad marriage, or I've got a lousy marriage, as though, you know, you had no part in determining what the marriage is. You don't get a good marriage without working at it. You have to work at it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Genesis. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, in a message titled, Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
There are times when, you know, Cheryl might be out somewhere and I'm not really aware of where she is, and we haven't had any contact for a while, and you know, she's not home when I thought she was going to be home, and I can't reach her on her phone or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden you get a little bit of a panic that starts going, you know, and I wonder if she's okay, and then you know, suddenly you realize, oh my, you know, I find myself realizing how often I take her for granted. But then just that momentary thought that maybe something happened, or what if she wasn't here? We should live with that consciousness more. So if we're loving our wives as ourselves, these are the things that we're never going to be doing. And if we're doing these things, then what? We're not loving our wives as ourselves, and we're disobeying the clear command of God. But let's move now to the positives. And Paul says here that we are to love our wives as our own bodies. And then he says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. This is a very good description of the way we treat ourselves. Now, we don't necessarily think of it in those terms, but we do. We nourish and we cherish our own bodies. These bodies are important. I need this body. And so I put a lot of effort into taking care of it, especially the feeding part. I put a lot of effort into making sure I've got enough food. But it's not just any food. I cherish my body so much, I want food that tastes good, really good. But, you know, if you stopped and thought about all the things that we do that we're not consciously thinking of as nourishing and cherishing our bodies, but in actuality, if you think about it for a while, that is really what we're doing. We're nourishing and cherishing. It's a natural thing. Again, it's not a bad thing. It's the way we are. But this is how we are to treat our wives. The word nourish, the idea is to build up our wives, to help bring them to maturity. And so, men, we should treat our wives in a way that builds them up, strengthens them, as well as helps them to attain their full potential in Christ. You see, as I said previously, we have to realize that the marital relationship is not just this aside. It's not just this thing that, oh yeah, I'm married, you know, and then I've got this whole other life out here that I see as so much more important. No, the marital relationship is, as we've seen, it's vitally important to God. It's something that I have to invest in. It's something that I have to put forth effort into. And in nourishing my wife, I've got to put forth an effort to build her up and to strengthen her. You know, it's easy to forget sometimes, especially if you have a very competent and capable wife, it's easy to forget that they are the weaker vessel. And I do that sometimes because my wife is very competent. She's very capable. And sometimes I forget that she is the weaker vessel. And this past week when we had something came up and we made a decision to send our daughter to England, and I couldn't go, and we felt it was important that she, you know, didn't go by herself. We felt that one of us needed to go. So I just looked at Cheryl and said, you know, honey, you got to take her. And, you know, I was expecting the, of course I'll take her, no problem, you know, because that's the way Cheryl usually is. And all of a sudden, she was not like that. She was very vulnerable and, but I'm going to have to fly back home by myself. I'm like, fly back home by yourself? What are you talking? Of course you're going to fly back home by yourself. Don't you, haven't you done that before? Well, I usually have somebody with me. You usually have somebody with you. Oh, I never thought of that. And she was a little bit nervous about, you know, she had some connection. She's got to make the connection and all this. And I get in the mode of, come on, Cheryl, you know, snap out of it. You're strong. You're tough. Get over there and take her. And then it dawns on me, wait a second, this is what the Bible's talking about, the weaker vessel. She's a weaker vessel. So instead of just giving her, you know, the pep talk, like, oh, come on, what's the matter with you? Get over there and do it. I've got to go, oh, honey, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, it is going to be a challenge. You're right, but I'm going to pray for you. We're going to make sure. And it's amazing how much that helps. And I usually end up doing that after I've done the wrong thing for a few minutes. But back to the point, we men, we need to build them up. We need to strengthen them. We need to be an encouragement to them. Now, communication, as we've touched on before, communication is so vitally important in the marriage relationship. And the psychologists say, and they're probably right about this, that one of the biggest problems in marriage is a lack of communication. Now, generally speaking, the man usually has a more difficult time than the woman with this aspect of the relationship. Now, I haven't counted, but if I could take a guess, I would say for every one word I speak, Cheryl speaks 100 words. She does, really. We go on these great walks. We have these really great walks that we do together, and they're about two-hour walks. It's a seven-mile walk. It takes us 2 hours. And for at least 1 hour and 45 minutes, she talks. And it's good stuff. It's wonderful. I love it. I get blessed. I get encouraged. It's a great, great time. It's just the difference in our personalities. You know, the worst thing that Cheryl can possibly ask me is, what happened when you were at that whatever it was? Oh, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. We just did, we just did whatever. No, don't, I want to know what happened there. Well, that's what happened. Nothing. I don't know what happened. I can't really give that kind of a description. I don't know why. And on the other hand, boy, if I ask her what happened somewhere, I will get the most detailed account imaginable. I will find out information that I didn't really even want to know when I asked the question. And sometimes she'll go off on these rabbit trails and I'll go, okay, wait. Back to the point. What are we talking about here? We're talking about this, you know. And so, again, it's a generalization to some extent, but it seems that it's fairly consistent that we as men have a bit more of a difficult time in communication. Now, when I was young, I told you some stories last week from the younger years. Cheryl said, oh, you know, you missed it. You should have told him about the fishing vacations. Those were way worse than the surfing vacations. I'll leave that for another time. But, you know, when I was young and newly married, I really was totally clueless as to what women needed. And I remember, you know, I would come home from work and Cheryl would want to talk. And I would think, talk? Why? What do we want to talk about? Aren't there other things to do? Like, it's still early. Maybe I can go surfing or... No, I think I want to play my guitar a little bit or, you know, well... No, I was going to read my Bible right now. Or you know, my friend was going to come over. And I honestly had this idea The idea was, you know, talk. Well, why do we need to talk? Why don't we just pray? I mean, prayer is, of course, the most important thing we could do. Why don't we just pray? What do we need to talk about? I since learned that there's lots of things we need to talk about. And, you know, sometimes if you're not that good of a talker, you can offset that by being a good listener and being attentive. But communication, it's very important. And in nourishing our wives, this element of communication is something that we really have to work on. We have to develop it. Again, men, remember, this isn't just, you know, some incidental relationship we're in. This is a very important thing. So we've got to work at our marriages. You know, some people refer to their marriages in the sense of, well, you know, I've got a good marriage, and others say, well, you know, I've got a really bad marriage, or I've got a horrible marriage, I've got a lousy marriage, as though, you know, you had no part in determining what the marriage is. You don't get a good marriage without working at it. You have to work at it. And so as men, we have to nourish our wives. But then he says that we are to cherish them. To cherish means to deem something precious and to hold it near and dear. You know that word, I mean, it's a very, to me anyway, it's a very descriptive word. When I think of cherishing something, I think of something that's very near and dear to my heart. And this is the attitude that we are to have toward our wives, that they are very near and dear to us. They're not our enemy. They're not that person that's, you know, messing up my plans or not cooperating with what I want to do, or, you know, just this, you know, woman I've got to sort of lug around with me, you know, I've ended up in, you know, but of course, some people see it that way. And again, in our culture, that has been the attitude a lot of times. But cherishing them, deeming them precious and holding them near and dear. The Greek word means to brood over, like a hen broods over her chicks. So I think in this word cherish, there's also the idea of emotional. There's an emotional love that's being described here. You know, it's not just love that is based on a commitment purely without any feelings. Although, as we talked about before, love isn't necessarily a feeling. It's more of a commitment. But, of course, in true love, in real love, there's going to be emotion. There's going to be feeling. There's going to be that tender place in the heart toward that person. So we're to cherish them. What if you get to a place in your life as a couple, and I'm speaking to both men and women, what if you get to that place where you look at the guy or you look at the woman and you just say, you know what, I don't have any feelings for them anymore. I don't have that love feeling that I used to have. Now, what some people mistakenly do is they think that this is the indicator that they need to get out of the marriage and go find somebody else that they can have those feelings for. But that's the wrong move. Some people think that, well, the lack of feeling is God showing me that this isn't really His will. That is a huge, not only a mistake, but that is an actual delusion. And I bring it up because I've had people tell me that. Well, I don't have any feelings for him anymore, and the Lord has shown me it's because I'm not with the right person. No. But what do I do if that's happened? Because that can happen. But what is it indicative of? It is indicative of a hardened heart. You see, that's the problem. The problem is the heart has become hard. How do I remedy that? What can I possibly do about that? Well, here's the wonderful news. God is in the business, if you will, of, you know, he's a heart surgeon. He can go in and he can fix that problem. Remember what the Lord said? He said, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart, a heart. I will take the stony heart out of you, and I will replace it with a heart of flesh. And tonight, men and women, if your hearts have become hard toward your spouse, know this, God is able to take that stony heart and he's able to give you a new heart. He's able to give you a tender heart. He's able to do that and to bring you back to a place where that love, that emotional aspect of it, that feeling can be restored. It can be. Now, some of you might be saying, no, I don't know. I don't think so. I've been hurt so many times and I've been let down and, you know, and all of those things. But, you know, as we kind of keep rehearsing those things and going over and over them again, it just lends itself to the heart becoming harder. We've got to get to the point of saying, Lord, help me to just let this stuff go. It's so easy to hold on to things, isn't it? And it's so easy to justify holding on to things because we have been mistreated at times. There have been injustices that have been committed toward us. But you see, this is where the grace of God, the power of God, the reality of God in our lives, this is where it comes in. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I can't forgive that person. You don't know what they've done to me. Well, if they hadn't really done anything to you, you wouldn't need to forgive them. Sometimes we seem to think that, you know, we just forgive those people that it's easy to forgive. You know, have you ever had that kind of experience where somebody's done something to you, but it wasn't really that big of a deal. They come to you and they say, you know, would you forgive me? Oh, yeah, of course, no problem. Of course I forgive. Yeah, don't worry about it. Why can you do that? Because it wasn't really that big of a deal. But when somebody really sins against you, well, that's a different story. Oh, you don't know what they did to me. But you see, forgiveness is for real sins. It's for real offenses. It's for real hurts. But again, this isn't something that we can do for ourselves. And the whole world is a witness to that. People are entrenched in bitterness and in hatred, and it's horrible. But it should not be the case in the church. It should not be the case with God's people because we have God. We have the Lord. We have the one who promised to give us a new heart if we will but seek him. But I think that so often that's the problem. I don't want to seek him because I want to have it my way and I'm sick of this and I want out of this. But you know, if you press on in that direction, you just go deeper into misery. And again, I've seen it many times. We could tell stories. You just see it over the years. People refusing to do what God says and thinking that it's going to get better. They're going to go at this point and they convince themselves that God's, you know, leading them out. But as you follow them through life, as you run into them years down the road, you find it's just the same thing being repeated over and over again, just different relationships. What's the solution? The solution is letting God change our hearts and coming to that place once again where you cherish, you love, you actually have those loving feelings that are restored. And so that's the idea behind the word cherish, but there's also the idea of caring for and protecting. Security is a very important thing in a marital relationship, and men, the women are very much in need of that sense of security. And there's nothing that will rob them of that sense of security more than a husband who doesn't care, doesn't seem to care, doesn't provide for his wife, doesn't provide for the family, has no commitment to working faithfully to take care of the family. And, of course, a woman in a situation like that, she lives in constant anxiety and fear. Of course, women are very much nurturers, and they want a place where they can nurture and take care of children, and you know, they want to have that sense of security. And it's our responsibility. God made the men to be the workers. Not that women can't work on occasions, and but yet, generally speaking, God has called us to be the providers. And again, we have seen far too many times where that's not happening. But if it's not happening, again, it's a failure to cherish our wives. And then there's emotional protection. And this goes back to communication, men, but it's along a bit of a different line. But, you know, our wives need to be affirmed by us. You know that old attitude that's expressed in, hey, I told you I loved you when we first got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know, but just, you know, for now, just know it still stands, kind of a thing. It's kind of comical, but it just doesn't work in real life. It doesn't work in real life. You have to affirm your love to your wife. Don't just assume she knows you love her. You have to tell her that. You have to tell her that. Now, my wife, I can say this because I've heard her say this before. She has said publicly, and she's communicated it to me as well, that one of the things that gives her much of the security in our marriage is the fact that I make it a habit to tell her I love her every day. And it's several times a day. And you know, honestly, I don't do it like, okay, what do I got to do today? I've got to, I've got to be there. I got an appointment here. I've got to make it over there and do that. And oh, I got to tell my wife I love her. Okay. Cheryl, where are you? I love you. I don't do it like that. I don't do it like that. I find that it naturally flows. I just like to tell her that. And I never even did it with the thought that, okay, I'm going to affirm my wife right now. But here's my point. That's what's happening. I didn't know that. I didn't know she thought it was such a big deal. I just like telling her I love her. Then I hear her teaching, and she's saying, oh, Brian tells me he loves me every day. You know, I go, oh, well, I'm doing something right. Good, okay. But to affirm our love to our wives, to affirm them in their beauty. You know, these things, they just go a million miles. They go a million miles, and they bring blessing with them. You know, just to, you know, you're beautiful. And those things, they just give, because again, this is the primary need of the woman, and they give the woman what she needs to really thrive and prosper as a woman and as a wife and as a mother.
For the month of January, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, Is God Anti-Gay? And Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Albury. Writing from his own temptation about same-sex attraction, pastor, author, and speaker Sam Albury shares what the Bible says about same-sex attraction and how Christians can respond biblically, both inside and outside the church. The book Is God Anti-Gay? And Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Albury is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now, at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Genesis. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.